regularly, and we also have teams that just come together for special occasions, like the recent light party. We have all sorts of teams with all sorts of ministries. Some of them are represented here today, but we actually have about roughly 20-ish teams in our church, so I couldn't invite everyone to come and speak. But I wonder, if you are a part of one of the teams in our church, just to give an indication, would you please stand? So if you're on one of our teams, one of those that's listed or some other team I haven't quite put up there. So, wow. Wow. Isn't that really good? Let's show our appreciation. Please be seated. And also, I was thinking when David was doing the reading, I can't quite see where David is, but, oh, way over there. Thank you for putting up the thing for the baptism, for those who helped you carry it in and all that sort of thing, because all of these things require people to be able to work together. And this is how the church works, the body of Christ, all different parts working together. Well, I suppose maybe almost 2 months ago, Eliud Kipchoge broke the world record for the marathon, completing it in under 2 hours. Most people thought this couldn't be done because too much for the human body. And the barrier of getting under the 2 hours had been there for such a long, long time. And he was able to do this because he wasn't running a marathon with everyone else jostling. He was running a very special marathon. And in front of him, he had in his team a pace car. And this pace car kept putting a line on the road as he moved along so that he could see how fast he needed to be running. And as well as that, while he was the one who ran the race, others would come and join him. And they'd sort of be in front and in back and alongside him from time to time running the race. And then they would drop off and some fresh runners would come along and help him to run. So in order to break that record, he had to have this huge specialized team in order to help him do this. Now, we don't all have specialist teams in this sort of way, but all of us do belong to teams, and we have people who support us. And today we're thinking about our Christian family, this team that we are together as God's people. And we read in the Bible, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." And also in another place it says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." So almost like that pace car with the lights, Jesus has marked out a course for us to be able to run. And we come together as this spiritual team to run this race together. God works among us, using our gifts. Sometimes we bump into each other a bit. It's not always easy. Sometimes we knock some rough edges off each other. Sometimes we lift and we support each other. We run alongside. Sometimes we'll run in the slipstream of someone who's stronger. And sometimes someone else will settle in and we will help them. When our church is working well, every person on the team, look around, every person on the team is here to help you succeed in what God has called you to do, so that you can be the person He wants you to be, live the life that He wants you to be. He has surrounded you with others in the faith. The Bible has a number of ways of talking about these relationships. It talks about family, children of God, households, all related to each other by faith. Jesus is our big brother. It speaks of a building, a temple, where Jesus is the cornerstone, the foundation, and others are built on top, and some are built alongside. And we are built into that building, both being supported and supporting others and alongside others. This is the building we're made to be part of. It's also described as a body of many parts. Jesus is the head. Now, while the Bible doesn't use the metaphor of a team, in our modern age, we recognize and understand this, and it doesn't take much to see it in the New Testament either. And so the Bible underlines the sense of unity for our team by saying, there's one body, there's one spirit, just as you were called to one hope. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Here is all this unity, this oneness of being together. We become a part of the team when we cross the line of faith by saying to God we're sorry for our sins by repenting and turning away from the wrong we have done and turning to Him and asking for forgiveness. And an important outward expression of this is to be baptized, as Candy and Alan and Candy were baptized today, becoming members of the church family, the local church, where they say what they believe and ask to be part of us, and where we say, yes, come, we will embrace you in the love of God. And so you have the sense of believing and belonging, and then it begins to shape our lives as to how we behave, because we're all closely linked together. Believing, being baptized, having the sense of belonging. And when you are new to faith, and that's the series we're thinking about at the moment, we're thinking about those who are just starting the Christian life. Perhaps they've started it a year or two now, or maybe they're just coming to the point where a person's going to ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. And a part of the series is to get us just to stop for a moment and think about the team. The team we're joining, the team we are on. And if you have been a Christian for some time, maybe you also need to reflect on this again. To think again about the team that just over time we may be taking a little bit for granted. How do the team help us? How can we help them? Where do we fit in? How do we discover our gifts and use them in service? How does the team of God, the family of God, behave? What does the team stand for? How do the team members relate to each other? And these are things we should think about from time to time. Back in August, the All Blacks were playing Australia in the Bledisloe Cup. For those for whom this was a painful experience, I'm sorry to bring it up again. But just before halftime, Scott Barrett was given a red card and sent off for a bad tackle. It meant that the All Blacks had to play the second half of the game with only 14 men because one of them had been sent off. They went on to lose the game 47-26. Now, there's no guarantee they would have won it if Scott had stayed on, but he felt really guilty about having been sent off. The thing that came to my attention was the team review a day or two later. Scott Barrett wanted to apologize to the team because he felt he had made a huge contribution to the loss. But the coach, Steve Hansen, said to him, "Mate, it's a team game. Things happen." And that was it. Now, ideally, being part of a team means you have the support of the team. Even when things don't go as expected, a good team will stick together. We've got your back. It's okay. We're here for you. Rather than blaming. It's all your fault that this has gone wrong. You see, in a church like a team, things happen. Things happen because we're not perfect. It's not that we're bad people. We're just human with the stresses and the strains and the room to improve, imperfections, tendencies to make mistakes. Sometimes we'll offend someone else. Sometimes they may offend us. We might think, are we really saved? Is that person really saved? Is that how we are as Christians? Maybe we're disappointed or disillusioned with ourselves or with the church We see the imperfections and the flaws of the team. But as someone has said, Christians are not perfect, just forgiven. Christians are not perfect, just forgiven. Sadly, the people of the church have never been perfect. And when you think about this, in the Old Testament, Joseph, who had the technicolor dream coat, he was a daydreaming big mouth who humiliated his brothers and ended up having them throw him in a well and sell him as a slave so they would never have to see him again. But then he went on to save his family and many others from starvation. Moses, who stands large in the Old Testament, murdered an Egyptian and had to run and flee for his life into the desert before God spoke to him, restored him, lifted him up and brought him to lead the people from slavery. Or you've got Ruth, the Moabite widow. The Moabites were the enemies of Israel. She was considered outside of God's people, and yet she showed such great faithfulness that she became a part of the people of Israel and even the great-grandmother of King David. Or Esther, who wanted to avoid danger. She knew she was in danger. She wanted to avoid it, but she found the courage to save her nation. Or Peter, the uneducated fisherman. Or Saul, the Pharisee, who persecuted Christians. These people who Jesus brought and changed. One of the complaints made against Jesus himself was that he mixed with the wrong people. They said of him, "This fellow is always eating and drinking far too much. He's a friend of tax collectors and sinners." And he even put those people on his team. In many respects, those on God's team were misfits rather than star players. They didn't stand out as the sort of people you would expect God to have on his team. And I'm glad. Because if Jesus wasn't reaching out to such people, how would he have reached to me? Or without being offensive, how would he have reached to you? Paul wrote, "Think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." Because Jesus mixed with the wrong people. Because he came to save sinners. Because at heart we know we are such people. We should realize, if God needs to still do some work in me, then he probably still needs to do it in others. And I shouldn't be expecting too much from other people as God patiently works to change them, to change us. I wonder if anyone here has ever been on a construction zone. You go to a place like that, there are all sorts of hazards, all sorts of dangers. There may be an offcut of wood, tools lying around, a ladder, gaps, holes, trip hazards below, things hanging from the ceiling above. My life, our lives, are like a construction zone. We're not the finished product. God is still at work. And again, someone has said, be patient. God is not finished with me yet. And so when you're new to the team and you look around you and you see some flaws in the team, don't be put off by that. God is still at work and will continue to work. And if perchance, having started in this walk of faith, you find yourself tempted and you fall into sin, don't think, well, that's me done. I can't be a Christian. Because God will still work in you and still work with you and restore you. Be patient. God is not finished with me, with you yet. And this makes the one another's in the Bible, the verses that are talking about one another, really important. And so we see all these things that Jesus, that the apostles are writing to us. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And don't I need that? For you to be devoted to me, together, us, in the sense of brotherly love, to honor one another above ourselves, to live in harmony with one another, to serve one another humbly in love, to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Now, this is just dipping into that, because there are so many of these verses, because Christianity is about being together. It's about being in the midst of the one another's, where we help each other. And so I want to encourage you today to think about the church team. Who supports us and who we support? Think about our attitudes, our responsibilities to others. To think, do we have the right team, the right people around us that'll help us to be our best in the Lord? Are we doing that for others? And I encourage you to think about God's team, how you can be a part of it. Perhaps it's time for you to be baptized. Perhaps it's time for you to become a member by profession of faith, to identify publicly as a Christian, as a part of God's team in this place. Perhaps to think about the different teams in our church. Which team might you join? How might you contribute? What talents, what spiritual gifts, what skills has God given you that you could share with us? And then this, rejoice. Rejoice that you are part of the team. I hope, Alan, for you, and Candy, for you, you have a real sense of rejoicing in your baptism. And there are times as a church when we can just simply rejoice wonderfully. Sometimes we're alone and reading the Bible, and it happens. And sometimes we're together with God's people, and it happens. Rejoice that we are part of God's team. All this to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.